Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 16 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. This one is one you're going to really love. It's with Alex Graff and Chris Foltz from ZZQ Craft Barbecue in Richmond, Virginia. It's just a great story. The two of them weren't involved with barbecue at all growing up, nor in the early part of their lives, but as passion and fate would have it, they started doing barbecue, and they fell in love with specifically Central Texas-style barbecue, and it's a great story. I don't want to blow anything. I think you'll really like how things led up to them doing the pop-ups and catering and all that. What also makes this interview interesting is that it's before they've opened the restaurant. They have their restaurant is open now, and actually, Chris sent me a cool video walkthrough of the restaurant a week before it opened. So I'll put a link. That's on my YouTube series. It's fun to hear their excitement and all the different things that they have planned for it. And because they're architects, it's a gorgeous location and restaurant. Let me know what you think. I know you want to visit ZZQ when you're in Richmond, Virginia. But enjoy this little chat with Alex and Chris. Thanks so much. Enjoy. Oh my gosh, you guys are crystal clear. This looks.
Yay!
All right. Well, good morning or good afternoon for you.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you doing today?
Connect with you.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad we finally got a chance to connect. And so I it seems like you tested this before.
No, this was the first time.
Okay, that's fine. All right, cool. All right. So let's tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, what did you guys do prior to the barbecue business?
Well, we're still kind of in the middle of that transition. We're both architects. Okay. I'll start with myself. I'm from Texas. I was born in Austin, grew up outside of Dallas in Mesquite.
Okay.
Yeah, so born and raised there. I decided to go to graduate school for architecture outside of the state. I was ready to get out of Texas for a while, and this was mid-90s,
okay.
So it was a while ago. Yeah. And ended up getting a job in Richmond, Virginia, and settled down, had a family, had a great career in architecture. Fast forward 20-something years, and here we are today. And, you know, in between all that, Alex and I both went through divorces, met each other when this barbecue thing was becoming a passion that I couldn't shake, and that's when it really started to take off.
So it's all barbecue brought you guys together, sort of, maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
in a weird way. Yeah,
the glue that keeps us together.
We met, and then we met at a party, and I brought barbecue to the party, and I fed her one of my ribs. I
had this man walking at me with these ribs.
So primal.
And this was after she transitioned from being a vegetarian. So
really?
She had come out of that phase and started eating meat. Yeah.
Right. I was vegetarian for 13 years.
How was that?
Most of my first marriage.
how was it hard for you to be a vegetarian? Did you grow up not liking meat, or did you?
We didn't eat a lot of meat growing up. I think my dad was a college professor, so my folks are a little more on the alternative scope.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the vegetarian seemed sort of par for the course. One of my brothers is still to this day vegetarian. He does eat fish.
Okay.
But so it was just kind of a natural progression, I think, for me. But there was a moment when I was at a friend of mine's home, and he'd made dinner for three couples. All the kids were there, and he opened the oven, and in there was a rack of lamb. And I went, I had no words. And I was just like, I ate most of that rack of lamb that evening.
Oh, that's great.
And I didn't stop from there. Just very gamey, like that venison. I still don't really eat chicken.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Well, chicken, I think we could all live without eating chicken. Like, there are certain chicken dishes that I like, but I prefer beef and pork for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what made you, what sparked you guys to open up a trailer? Because you started with a trailer, correct? And then now you're transitioning to a brick and mortar.
So somewhere in the midst of that very compressed story, I was getting really frustrated with not being able to find any decent brisket where in these parts. And so, you know, this is probably 15 plus years ago. I called my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, how do you cook a brisket? I'd never cooked one." Mm-hmm. That's where it all started. And then, of course, you know, with the internet and that information stream growing, I was able to do a lot of research, bought books, and just kept teaching myself more and more and perfecting it. And then, you know, showing be the guy that showed up at a party with a
brisket.
What
were you cooking on those days?
embarrassing. Why not? I don't know. I mean, I started with, you know, an electric cabinet smoker.
You're not the only one.
So, I mean, it was an electric smoker with a water pan and some wood chips, and that was it. That's how it started. Mm-hmm. And it hit me one day when I went to a party. I was actually cooking brisket on that, and I took it to a party, and this guy came up to me and said, "This is the best brisket I've ever eaten. How did you eat this?" And you know, he wanted to know all about it, and I said, "Well, that's really cool that you appreciate that. What do you do for a living?" And he was a pit master at one of the local barbecue joints. So at that moment, I knew I was onto something.
Oh, that's a huge moment.
Yeah, and I was cooking on, you know, that crappy equipment. Mm-hmm. And then that graduated to a larger cabinet smoker, you know, then a Weber bullet. And then I started competing. A friend of mine built his own stick burner, and so we started competing together. We were on some competitions locally in the KCBS circuit and had a lot of fun doing that, met a lot of great people, you know, really became you know, really impressed and comfortable with the whole barbecue community. And at that time, you know, barbecue pit masters was popular, and so everybody was talking about barbecue, everybody wanted to compete. But I personally became frustrated with that after a while, because, you know, I really couldn't cook the style of barbecue that I wanted to cook, which was
there's
a very specific palate, mm-hmm, for each meat that they're looking for.
And it's not style and the way it looks and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not anything that I'm interested in personally. I had no passion for that, so I stopped doing that. And then that was around the time that Alex and I started dating. So then I started designing my own stick burner, which was modeled after a Jambo pit that I had seen on the competition circuit. Mm-hmm. But I needed more room than that because I wanted to cook more meat. So it's kind of an enlarged, a double XL version of a Jambo pit, okay, was our first pit. And that was 2012. And then we got it on my birthday in 2013, I think, is when it finally got fabricated and delivered. And we started cooking on it immediately. And then within 2 weeks, we had our first catering gig, which was a wedding of all things.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
We were thrown into the fire.
And in that window, Chris moved in with me that same moment. Like, the smoker arrived to my place before he did.
Did you name your smoker?
Yeah, that smoker's named Mabel after my grandmother.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So Mabel moved in first, and then Chris moved in after.
Yep. Yeah.
And then from there, you did catering. How did that catering gig turn out? Was it stressful?
Oh, yeah.
It was very stressful. It was about 120 people. You know, it wasn't a big event, but it was incredibly stressful. We had never done
it. It was a wedding.
And I'm proud to say that we pulled it off, got great rave reviews, and we have diehard fans to this day because of that wedding and how that came together. And that was
killer.
Yeah. I'll never forget, though. I trashed about half the brisket that I smoked because it wasn't up to my standards. And I wanted to make sure that everybody had the very best, and a lot of it went into garbage.
Oh, really?
And of course, he had made enough that we could have fed like 300 people.
So that was perfect. So it's good that you made it extra.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. So after that, did people start coming to you for more catering gigs? Is that kind of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started, word of mouth spread pretty quickly. Our next big gig was in July of 2013.
Yeah.
And it was a huge wedding up in Washington, D.C. Much wedding. And we had to haul everything up there and cook on site, which was new to us.
Interesting. That's interesting. So you did get in the night before?
We did, yeah. Yeah, we got in the night before, stayed at a friend's house, cooked. And it was an Indian wedding, which was a blast, a lot of fun. We had so much fun cooking for them. But the cool thing about that story is that's when we hooked our anchor investor for what we're doing now, which is building a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So we cooked for his wedding. Mm-hmm. He and his family and friends were blown away. He happened to be the brother of a really close friend of mine, and they were hooked. And they said, "If you ever want to open a restaurant, we're in. Let us know."
Were you serving Central Texas style for the?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I cooked those collards in the backyard on a propane burner. Like, we didn't even prepare anything. We cooked everything on site. It was nuts.
And it was the hottest day of the summer that year.
Yeah,
it was
like of course.
Degrees, you know.
The Mabel story.
Yeah.
But that.
Well, there's an antidote to that story is, so it was our first road trip with Mabel, first long road trip.
Okay.
We lost a tire on the trailer. And it's a two-wheeled trailer. Yeah. So the trailer 995 collapsed and just went down on its axle. Mm-hmm. And I was dragged. The fortunate part of that story is we were one exit away from where I bought the axles for the trailer.
Oh my gosh.
So we went straight to that. We were able to get back to that shop.
That is crazy.
And then had them fix it. And then we got road.
Yeah, that's great, because I've heard about people that with concern moving their smokers around, because sometimes, like, some people don't even know how to hitch it to the back of a pickup or yeah.
So the lesson there was lug nuts. Always check. Always. Okay.
That could be that. That's like the highlight. I'll tell people, come right here in the episode. This is where you learn how to properly move your smoker. Lug nuts.
Yeah, I thought we were doomed as we're pulling off the side of the road and the wheel comes rolling right past us.
Oh my gosh.
It's just like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, it literally popped off.
That's like that seems like a movie, like an old John Candy movie or something. Where
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like playing strains and automobiles.
It's like the highway. Yeah.
Still one of the best movies ever, I think.
Totally.
Yeah. So from there, when did you find a location to start doing this on a permanent basis somewhere? There's a little journey there.
So yes. We were looking, you know, we didn't have a ton of catering gigs at that time. So we were looking for ways to test recipes, hone the product, and get, you know, just break even, get paid for the product. Mm-hmm. So we started this little underground backyard thing called Come and Brisket. And that was kind of a nod to the shirt, the Come and Brisket t-shirt in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so we would kind of put something out on social media real quietly, and word of mouth grew. And people would order whole briskets, whole racks of ribs, whole shoulders, whatever.
One of each, some people.
And we would take those orders until we sold out space in the smoker, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would just cook for them, and they'd come pick it up when it was ready, and we got paid for it.
That is smart. That's really cool.
It was great.
Yeah, it was. I think it was actually Alex's idea to do that.
Thank you.
So we did that. We did that for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And we weren't doing it legally, right. You know. So.
There's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, the health department caught on to it, and they showed up at our house.
So they always do.
A notice on our door.
Right. The kids were in the house. Like they walked the whole property. We had boxes from brisket in the back at the trash.
It was
a little scary.
So what did the notice say, like cease and desist kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. And so we had to talk to the head of the health department in Virginia and beg forgiveness and jump through a lot of hoops, and it all worked out. The main thing was we had to have a commissary. You have to have a commercial kitchen to store and prep.
That makes sense. Then.
Right.
It makes a lot. I mean, the rules are for a good reason.
For sure, yeah. A lot of people get upset, but it makes sense.
Right.
Because we don't want everyone killing everybody. Like, there's some people that will actually pay attention to food safety, and others that are like, I don't care if there's like cleaning products right next to the brisket.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was, and it was time for us to take the next step. And the next step was serving directly to the public.
Yeah.
You know, and so we secured a commissary. We got invited to do a pork-based pop-up at a local brewery in town. So we did shoulder and ribs, and then I think I did bone-in pork belly for that, which I'd been doing and hadn't done that before. And that was in 2015. Yeah, that was in the spring of 2015. So that was our first unveiling to the public in a setting like that where we're selling directly to the public. And it went great. It was incredible. We had the longest lines of any vendor there.
Yeah,
and it
was cool.
So then the story started, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were you ZZQ at the time? And what is ZZQ?
So ZZQ, that's I wish it was a more interesting story, but it's not really. that was about a year before I met Alex. Me and some friends were sitting in a bar because I was thinking about designing the smoker and taking this to the next level, and we were kind of brainstorming about what is ZZQ. So we were kicking around some ideas on metaphors, and one of the metaphor that got us there was Southern rock and roll. Mm-hmm. So barbecue is kind of a blend, mainly founded in Texas, but a blend of things that we really like in the Carolinas as well.
That's true.
So Southern rock being, you know, a blend of country, blues, rock and roll. And then I was like, all right, well, the quintessential Southern rock and roll band in Texas is ZZ Top. So my friend Tippy blurted out ZZQ, and it was that quick. As soon as she said it, I said, that's it.
Oh, that's
and it stuck. So I immediately went to the DMV and I bought a personalized plate with ZZQ and put it on my truck.
Oh, that's cool. I always wondered how you got that name. That's awesome.
And that's where it started. Yeah. So there's a little nod to Texas and ZZ Top.
Oh, that's cool. So then when you had your official, so did you get it? Did you were cooking out of a trailer, or were you cooking out of the commissary? And then...
So when we started, that pop-up, which was a part of a festival, led to a bi-weekly pop-up because we're still doing our day jobs, right? So we're working during the week, you know, designing stuff. And then I own my own practice, so I could take off a day or two from work to do this. So we secured a deal with that same brewery to do a bi-weekly pop-up on Friday nights after work. So essentially, we would prep our stuff in the commissary kitchen. Mm-hmm. We would haul everything on site, and I would cook overnight.
Oh, wow. You know,
into Friday.
Yeah.
For this Friday afternoon pop-up.
Yeah. So we'd take the smoker over there on Thursday and park it.
Oh, wow.
The health department will allow you to do that. They'll allow you to cook on site. Not a lot of people do that, but you can cook your meat on site, and they're totally cool with that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that got us out, you know, our reputation out more in the public. And then the lines kept getting longer and longer and longer, and we'd sell out faster and faster and faster. And again, this was every 2 weeks. And we did that all the way through about Thanksgiving of 2015.
Yep.
And at that time, we'd already met and reached out to John Lewis, his father, John Lewis Sr.
Oh, wow.
And first 1,000-gallon pit in production at the end of 2015.
So you got your pit from John Lewis's father?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's really interesting.
We have three of those now.
And they're all from John Lewis's father?
2,000-gallon pits, yeah. The third one is going to be delivered in about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Because I knew that John Lewis designed pits, but I didn't realize that his father, for some reason, I didn't know that.
Yeah, his dad's doing all the fabrication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so, you know, again, it's scaling up. We couldn't keep up with the demand on a Friday night, and so we wanted to take the operation to the next level. So we had met – babe, jump in.
Go ahead.
I don't want to do all the talking.
I'm just going to talk about how much I love John Sr., though.
Yeah, you could tell that. That would be great, too.
So a great part of our story is when we got married. We got married in September –
2014.
Of 2014.
Right. Okay.
And – I had been reading about John Lewis. John Lewis had left Franklin and was working at Le Barbecue.
Okay.
And been reading some awesome things and saw some videos on YouTube, and I really wanted to meet him. So I reached out to Allie, his general manager, and told her that we were coming. And so the first part of our honeymoon was all barbecue in Texas, and we started at Le Barbecue.
Oh, that's perfect. That's what I want. That's my next...
Oh, we started at Killen's.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
And Killen.
Open and we went there.
Yeah, sorry, Ronnie. I forgot about that.
So you started in Pearland.
Yeah, so when we drove across the border from Louisiana, we went straight to Killens, and then we went to Austin. That's right.
Okay.
That's
right. What places did you stop at? Do you remember?
I took Alex to Franklin's, Le Barbecue, Micklethwaite.
All confused. You are so confused.
No.
That was barbecue. I only went to Franklin's and Micklethwaite when we went last year.
Oh.
We went to, it was Saturday. We went to La Barbecue.
All right, I'm misremembering that.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's okay. You're blending it all.
It was, I think,
we've done a lot of these trips.
I think that was the only, it was Killens and La Barbecue on that trip. We ate a bunch of other food while we were in Austin.
Really?
But it wasn't a big, I mean, no, because we went Saturday.
Right. You went to like Rainy Street maybe, or did you?
I think I'm confusing it with the trip I took my son on. That's what it is.
That's all right. I'll get you straight.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, we got to
You
meet
went to
John.
Two different places that are really great.
Yeah, I was very happy, and I was obsessed with like Killens with the brand new building with the layout. Like that was something that really spoke to me, like the way that flow happened.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous. Yeah, it's a smart, it's smartly designed for sure.
Yeah, and then the outside space. I just really that had such an impression on me that it really carries through. I think into 2017 ZZQ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So then did you meet John at the time when you came into?
Yes.
So we met, we met John Lewis. And he came out and talked to us when the crowd kind of died down, the line died down, and spent a lot of time with him. He showed us around, showed us the pits. He was very generous. And we told him what we were doing and gave him our information. And then we were on our way to the rest of our honeymoon.
Right.
Until driving back home to Virginia, because we drove from Virginia all the way to Texas and back.
We were gone like a month.
That's a road trip. Wow, that's really cool. That's the way you do it.
It was great. But on the way back, so we're coming back and we're almost home. We're a couple days late because we, you know, blew out two tires on the trip and we were out.
You guys under tire issues.
Not anymore, not since then. And so we were getting ready to pull out of Tennessee. It was our very last day. We were driving from Tennessee home and we get a phone call while we're in line at the drive-through of the Starbucks and it's John Lewis Sr.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that was that.
And then he was like, you know, if you guys are really serious about wanting one of these pits, we'd like to build you one. At that time they had just started Austin Smokeworks.
Right.
Okay.
And the word was getting out. Right. And he said, we'll build you one and I'll have John, his son, call you and talk to you about it. So when we got back home, John called a couple days later and said, you know, I just want you to know what you're getting into. This is old school. This is a big stick burner. It's going to require a lot of work. There's no push button. And I said, no, John, I get it. That's what we want.
How many gallons was that one?
It was 1,000.
Ooh, I was looking at a 750 yesterday and 1,000's big.
Yeah. So I said, yeah, that's what we want. And so that was in production when we shut down that first series of pop-ups in 2015. And in 2016, we took delivery of it and started cooking on it in the spring. And at that time, we transitioned to weekly pop-ups every Saturday at that same brewery.
Okay.
So we didn't get that smoker for about 14 months from the time we said we wanted it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was
a hitch or something?
A little lag on our end, and then Lewis was doing the smoker. They were doing the smokers for Lewis.
Yeah,
so we got pushed back, which was fine for, I mean, it worked out really well for us because it gave us some time to really prepare and think about scaling up.
That's right.
Because going from Mabel to this thing was a huge leap.
Yeah, and what did you think when it arrived? Did you think, what did we get ourselves into? Or
I mean, I was in awe of it. So we were coming back from another vacation in Texas, changing planes in DFW. Alex kept on going to Virginia. I got off the plane in DFW, drove down to Austin to meet John Sr. And it was nighttime, and John, they built these things in a big barn. So John's backing. So the name of this one is Maxine.
Okay.
So he's backing Maxine into the barn out of the dark. And I was just I was floored. I was in awe. I was a little intimidated also, to be honest. I mean, I was like, oh, holy, this is the real deal. And, you know, there was a little bit of a learning curve, you know, once we started cooking on her.
With just controlling the temperature and also
airflow. I mean, his pits draw really well. So just dialing it in and fine tuning that so you get the, you know, you just get that trajectory that you want to put the meat on so it comes out perfect. It took a little while to hone that.
Were you filling that up at the beginning or what did it take a while to fill that? Sorry. That's a lot of meat.
So again, trial by fire.
Because we can't help ourselves.
Trial by fire. We were asked to do a grand opening of another brewery in the same neighborhood. And that's the Vail Brewing Company. And they're actually one of our main investors now. Just another little side note. They asked us to do their anniversary party, so we brought Max into their parking lot.
This is their opening. It's not the anniversary, it's their opening.
Their opening.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal.
It was a huge deal. We're like, yeah, of course we can do this.
Yeah. And I loaded it with 28 briskets.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
That was my first big cook.
And how'd that go?
And I did that 2 days in a row because it was a two-day event. And it turned out pretty good. It could have been a lot worse. Not my best brisket, but I mean.
But that's a right amount. That's a pretty good amount of brisket.
Yeah.
It was an intense 36 hours.
Wow, yeah. That's cool. So then from there, when did you start opening up for multiple days?
We've only ever done a one-day-a-week pop-up. So from there, we moved Max back to the brewery where we started, Ardent. And the cool thing about Ardent is they have a big patio with string lights across the patio, lots of picnic tables. It feels very Austin-like, yeah. Very Texas-like.
I love that style.
So it was a great way for us to build our brand in a great setting with beer built in, you know.
That's a perfect pairing.
They would serve beer to our customers standing in line. And we started serving at noon. They don't open till noon. If people were there early, a little bit of slip here and there. Yeah. Kept everybody happy.
Yeah. Once you have beer kind of in the mix, it makes things a lot smoother. Yeah. That's why you'll see all those guys in Texas like giving out free Lone Stars, is because it calms the natives.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. which has been.
Okay, so you guys are only open one day. For some reason, I thought you guys were open 3 days a week or 2 days a week. Okay.
No, we're still doing our day jobs, you know. And literally to this day, we're still doing our day jobs. So I would take off Friday. Alex would take off Friday. You know, I would start cooking the meat on Friday and it'd be have it ready for lunch on Saturday. And then, you know, we'd feed 300 or 400 people on a Saturday, clean up, go home, and do it again the next week.
Yes, yeah, so we shifted from doing the Friday night to doing Saturday afternoon, which was much easier on the day job schedule.
So you guys are snows. You're like snows.
Exactly.
Yeah, we were snows.
Exactly. So who wouldn't? I'd like to live in Lexington for a year just to. When did you decide to transition to the brick and mortar? Did that come 6 months ago or so, or has that always been
that? That's always the goal, and it was the goal really early on. I mean, we went through at least two years of searching for the right piece of real estate, and we've designed our restaurant four times now, and
each different.
Sounds like you guys.
Just keep trying.
Perseverance is very important, and also patience, because the right thing will happen when it's meant to happen, which it finally did.
Yeah.
So the first three iterations were existing buildings that we were going to retrofit. And the building that we're doing now is brand new construction. We never dreamed we could build a building, but that's what we're doing.
That is awesome. That's what a feat. When is this looking to be open?
Mid to late January, maybe early February.
Sometime 2018.
Yeah. Okay. Are you guys going to be doing pop-ups in between at all?
No. The smokers are already on site because we actually built the roof. So the smoker stack is coming up through the roof. So we needed them there.
We built the smokehouse around the smokers, so we can't really use them until the construction's done.
Again, the health department.
The health department's cool with stick burners and... In that county? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's quite a few in Richmond, actually.
Because that would not happen in Los Angeles, for sure. That's been a big battle. They can't use an offset smoker.
That's too bad. Yeah. That's so short-sighted. That is Sunday. So good.
I'm thinking about figuring out a way to team up with a politician and kind of get that, at least, because...
Yeah,
good idea.
There you go.
As long as I'm living in Los Angeles, that's a long journey to get the barbecue that I really want in the offset style. There's a lot of people doing pop-ups, and there's guys that have JNRs, and they're doing a great job, but there's something special about that whole Austin style or Central Texas, or now it's all pervasive across the United States.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally. Well, so then how did you get on Daniel Vaughn's radar?
Perseverance.
So I've you know, we've never met him. We've tried to hook up when we were in Texas, but it never worked out. I've been following him, of course, for a long time, you know, when he had his blog before he was the Texas Monthly editor and all that.
Full Custom Gospel Barbecue.
Yeah. And so when anything special would happen with ZZQ in Richmond, we've had a lot of articles written about us locally.
I can imagine.
I would forward it to him. Right. And once he became the editor, he would put it on the weekly newsletter.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's because that's probably where I first saw you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like the weekly roundup kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we've been on there at least three times.
Right.
So he's been really cool to us, very generous. And, you know, we correspond through Twitter now and Instagram. And when he's coming through this part of the country, we've tried to make it work out. But since we're only one day a week, it's never worked out. So, you know, when we saw your interview with him, we were literally smoking brisket on Max on a Friday, I think, is when we watched it. Yeah. And me and my pit assistant, Brian, were listening on the Bluetooth speaker. And then he mentioned ZZQ. It's like the first place he mentioned when he talked about places outside of Texas. And we just went crazy.
Yeah.
We just could not believe it. I mean, it's so cool. It's so cool.
And it was really cool because it's funny when I mention places that people want, like I'll say, where do you want to go outside of California, or just to different pitmasters or different people, they'll always mention your place. And I think some of them, it's because of that interview with Daniel or maybe his write-ups slash that interview, which is kind of nice. I'm honored that you guys were actually watching that, because sometimes I'm like, are people actually watching this? Like,
I'm trying to think of how that popped up. I think it popped up on my like YouTube. You might like this, you know, based on, you know, so
that's cool.
And you like it.
Yeah.
I love barbecue so much, and I worked in Texas for a year, and I want people to get a chance to learn about other places and learn about people like you. Like they could read an interview that you guys do with a magazine or newspaper, but to actually see you guys and see you interact, it's wonderful.
We love what you're doing, man. I really hope it gets a lot of traction and takes off.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I could do this for it's like there's a lot of things I like in life, and I love eating barbecue, and I love visiting. I love food in general, but talking to you guys, people like you, people that are passionate, and people that came from a background, it's so unique that, you know, this business, there's a lot of people that weren't cooking barbecue to begin with professionally or even on a restaurant level. And so what can people look forward to with your new restaurant, with the opening of the restaurant? Like, is there anything different, or what will you plan on being? What, do you have a menu set, or do you... Are you still kind of tweaking that?
Well, the foundation.
We're going to stick to the standard menu we've been doing. We've been doing like beef ribs once a month kind of thing. So we'll move that to doing that once a week.
Okay.
And we'll have days when we're doing bone and pork belly, prime rib, all the fun things.
Prime ribs. You're killing me already.
Oh, yeah. And then our sides menu is pretty expansive already. So I think we'll stick with that. The thing we're adding that we have never really done is desserts.
Okay. Well, that's great.
And then we will have a full bar in the restaurant as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a new school kind of barbecue joint.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have a bar that focuses heavily on mezcal, tequila, and bourbon.
Cool.
And we're going to be, you know, we'll say this first time on your show, that we're going to be the first people in the state of Virginia to carry Lone Star beer. We're going to have Lone Star beer in our restaurant, and that's a done deal. That's
very
already
cool. Good. Oh, excellent.
So we will have some Texas beer, some Texas craft beers also. The main thing about the neighborhood that our restaurant is in is it's in this crazy, just awesome former kind of industrial neighborhood that's been taken over by breweries and cideries and distilleries.
Oh, that's so cool.
Drink, but there's really no place to eat. There's one or two restaurants right now. And we're really fortunate to be in like the geographical center of all that.
Oh, that's ideal.
Awesome for us. Yeah, yeah. What else is unique?
I think I might have seen drawings or maybe something about you guys will have an outdoor space as well. Is that indoor, outdoor?
Yeah. Yeah. So the design,
like Killens.
Like Killens, but like ZZQ.
Like ZZQ.
Yeah, so you come into this kind of warehouse that's a little more stark in the front, and then you come through the whole restaurant, and then in the back, we're going to have this really big patio with these amazing picnic benches designed by this guy.
Nice. Are you building them right now?
Soon. He's the fellow who's going to build them is coming from West Texas. He should be arriving this Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good friend who's a,
yeah.
He's a metal worker and artist. He's going to do all the furniture outside, but the model for the place has always been for both of us. It's straight up serving line style, like you would experience at Louis Miller's or, you know, any of the classic joints.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
It's not going to be go place an order, get a number, sit down. They bring it to you. Everything is front and center, so you can be a part of the whole process. Yeah. It's really important to us.
Well, I think that's what people love, and that's what's kind of sexy about barbecue. You're watching it being cut in front of you. You could say, "Hey, I want a little bit more." You see what other people are getting. I love that.
Oh, it's so good. It's not you're not getting it through the window.
Mm-hmm. Robots aren't making it in the back or something.
Yeah,
because they're taking over. But we can, this is one of our like our last chance with barbecue.
So the building. So it's from the outside, it kind of looks like a barbecue shed, but the inside's very modern.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to find that balance between, you know, kind of clean modernism and then, you know, nostalgic barbecue joint, but something that expresses us and, you know, what we like as architects and designers and what, you know, really matters to us. So 80 seats plus 12 seats at the bar, 90 seats outside. It's pretty big.
That's so cool. Will you guys be will you have sausage at all?
Oh yeah.
You mean making your own sausage?
Yeah, I have two right now. Yeah. We have a traditional hot gut, and then we have, our take on jalapeno cheddar in Texas is
habanero fontina.
Oh, yeah. With fontina. Oh, that's it. I haven't had a sausage with fontina.
It's good. And it's cut into it and the cheese just oozes out of it and everybody kind of gasps when they see moment. And
Does the habanero make it pretty spicy, or is it?
It's actually less spicy than the hot gut.
Really?
It's a balance thing.
The cheese cuts it. It's the heat, you know, it balances it out. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing.
I've had some South Side ones that are their jalapeno cheddar. That's not even spicy, really. It's just the adequate amount, a proper amount of heat. So. And that's how a good sausage is like that. Oh, that's so. Do you guys? So are you? Have you been making your own sausage? Like, is that something you guys will be doing in that? Because that's a big process. That's a lot of work.
We were making our own sausage.
So we have. There's a company here that's actually called Sausage Craft. Oh, they're cool. About a mile away from us, and they got it down. They know what they're doing. They work really beautifully with us with doing what we want, and it's much easier on our end.
Yeah, they make it to our spec. So.
Excellent.
And it's very consistent and it's awesome. But when we get in the restaurant, we will be introducing special sausage mixes.
Right.
You know, for recipes that'll be, you know, a special on a Thursday or something.
When do you, what days do you plan on being open?
Wednesday through Sunday.
That's the goal is Wednesday through Sunday.
Sunday. Closing early on Sunday.
Yeah. Would you be open at 10, 11, like, or?
11.
11.
I think we go 11 to 10. Sort of. We want to pair with the hours of the breweries around.
So you'll have a dinner service too. So that's unique and that's important for people to know.
Yeah, it is.
Because a lot of people love barbecue and people love that lunch style until you sell out makes sense. But if you have a restaurant that can be open, like a style switch that can be open in the evening too, there's a lot of business to be captured and people can come after work, which is important.
Right. Absolutely, and I think Richmonders do not understand the serve to you sell out thing at all.
Yeah. Well, they're not unique to, there's people from Los Angeles. I talked to Barry at Smoke in Chicago. He said the same thing. It takes a while for people to understand that.
I feel like we educated people really well. Our second year, we started using the trays and serving that way. And that was so hard for them at first.
It's a baby step.
But that was something that they get it. And now they're expecting that when we open. So it'll just, I think it'll make sense. But the public.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been an education for the public. And, you know, but, I'm really proud of how measured and methodical our growth has been from day one to the next until today. You know?
Sometimes not by choice.
No, but it seems like you're on the right trajectory. You are going to, like, now you have your own restaurant, which you started out just cooking on an electric smoker, which is amazing. That's phenomenal. And now, are there other barbecue places, other places in the region that you go to, or do you mostly go like to Texas or to, like, say you want to get some barbecue? Are you going anywhere else outside?
We're just crying.
We don't eat much barbecue, honestly. We just came back from a road trip through the Carolinas this past
weekend.
Oh, I
saw that. Okay.
Yeah. So we took. Jealous.
Should have been with us.
We went to the Skylight Inn. I was there, kind of like what, in spirit.
Yeah, that Skylight Inn was fantastic.
What a cool spot.
Yeah. And great people. Mm-hmm. Such nice, you know, hospitable, giving people. Mm-hmm. We took four of our crew with us, so there were six of us on that road trip.
Okay.
And we wanted to experience a lot of whole hog barbecue, and, you know, all the different styles of all the different restaurants, and see some of the new school whole hog, like Sam Jones. We went there also.
Sam Jones is doing it right, yeah. He knows what he's doing.
And we went to, Rodney Scott's new place in Charleston blew us away.
Yeah.
I've only heard good things. I haven't had a chance to go.
So good.
It was incredible. And we met Rodney. He happened to be there.
Oh, that's cool.
And he spent a lot of time with us, showing us around. It was incredible.
So generous. And did you go all the way? Did you go to Lexington Barbecue? Did you get a chance to go out there?
No, we stayed on the eastern half, and we had very little time and a lot of tiny places to hit.
And it's a long way to get to Lewis. And Lewis was, we really needed to get our crew down to Lewis Barbecue.
Oh, is that where you went? Was that that was like the destination as to where? How was that?
Yeah. Yeah, we had our bar manager with us, so I wanted him to, you know, experience the Lewis Barbecue Bar program.
Right.
And we had our chef with us, who's going to be running the kitchen, and we wanted him to meet the chef down there. So, you know, they're like a sister restaurant, you know, very very similar to what we're going to be doing.
Oh, that's really cool. That's good for people to know. That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to go to Lewis's restaurant too. Gosh.
They're killing it, man. They're every single thing we had was incredible, and it just gets better every time we go down there.
So, and it's definitely not straight like central style Texas style barbecue. It's a blend. All the photos I see, everything looks so phenomenal, and it's unique. That seems like a lot of unique dishes.
Yeah, and you know, John brings a lot of things that are near and dear to his heart, where he grew up. You know, in the El Paso region with the Tex-Mex Tuesdays and the chicken steak and all that.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
It's really cool.
How long did it take you guys to get down? Like, what? How long would it take you just if you did a straight shot?
It's like 6.5 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad, yeah.
But if you have to stop at four barbecue places, maybe take a nap on the way. It takes a little longer.
It's integral, though. I can't. There's no way I could have. My car automatically goes towards any barbecue place. It can't not stop.
Nice.
Awesome. So is there anything else that people should know about you guys that they might not know, or about your restaurant that's coming out? I'm super excited for it. I'll definitely come out. Maybe, and I Daniel needs to come out for sure, right?
Once it opens. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I would just, you know, reiterate again that, you know, the foundation, we're always going to stay true to the foundation, but, you know, I would say me and Alex and then Russell, who's our chef, we're restless and are always experimenting and always trying something new. So, we're really looking forward to introducing new things to the market. You know, some things you'll see, you know, across the country in other barbecue joints, and then some that, you know, are going to be original to ZZQ. And it's all going to be very meat centric and special and thoughtfully crafted, you know, and
thoughtfully crafted. I like that. That's a, that could be actually like ZZQ, thoughtfully crafted. That's not many people are done.
That's going to be our next t-shirt logo. Yeah,
that should be. I definitely am going to. So, when do you guys have shirts right now?
Yeah, we have shirts and hats and belt buckles.
Yes.
And what else do we have? Let's see right now.
Shirts and hats and belt buckles.
Yeah. So far.
we'll have to talk offline, and I'll send you guys a check and get something. I would love to get some stuff from you. Definitely. Cool. But thank you guys again. I'm glad that this time you guys are crystal clear. It's not the connection before. What was it? It was just me talking. You guys got a chance to see me in all my glory for about a half an hour. just messing around.
Feeling better.
Thank you so much. Yes, definitely. Well, have a great week. Good luck, and we'll stay in touch. And if you guys once as you guys are going, as you're getting more done with the restaurant, I'd love to see photos because I'm relaunching my blog, and I'd love to share photos and share video if you guys have it from
Awesome.
your spot. Yeah, so that way, just towards the buildup, because then it'll get people continually excited. So have a great week, and thank you. It was so nice talking to you guys. You guys are wonderful people.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Kevin. All right, take care, guys. Bye.
All right, bye.